Daf Mem Omer Aleph, the fourth line down. The Gemara is continuing to tell us different episodes in the lives of the Amoraim, great challenges that they faced, and the Mesirus Nefesh, in order to overcome these temptations of the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara tells us that a pasuk in Tilim Kuf Gimel, Baruch Hu Hashem, Malachov, Gibori Koach, Osei Dvaro, Lishma Bekol Dvaro. And this pasuk describes those who are like Malachim in their koach, in their unbelievable Mesirus Nefesh. And to whom does this pasuk refer? Kigon, someone like the ilks of Rabbi Tzadok v'chaverov, that Rabbi Tzadok was tempted and allured by the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Tzadok tvate hahi matronisa. There was a non-Jewish, very important woman, probably close to the offices of the government, who literally, you translate it as demanded, tava'ate, but it means that she was trying to force him into having an immoral act. He had no way of saving himself from her. Maybe his life was at stake, because she had the actual control over it. And if you'll take a look here, Rashi says, Kegon Rabbi Tzadok shalavash koach lachuf yitro lehisgaber bechefze kono. Rashi uses very dramatic language to describe this Rabbi Tzadok. And in order to save himself from this Avera, there's another Rashi here that seems to indicate that Isha Gedola, so that's three lines down from the top, She'ein Yochol Lipata Mimenu, he had no way of avoiding her, Umasur Biyada Lahargo, she had the political clout to put him to death if he would refuse. Amar lo, Rabbi Tzadok turns to him, he says, Chalash li liboy, I'm very hungry, my heart is weak, I'm chalashing, as we'd say. Velo matzino, I can't do this avera with you, I can't do this act with you because I'm too weak. Ika midi lemechal, perhaps there's something here to eat, and then afterwards, you know, we'll do what we have to do. Amar le, so she turns to him and she says, Ika Dovar Tame, the only food that I can offer you is non-kosher food that you as a Jew are not allowed to eat. Omer lo, Rabbi Tzadok responds, Mai nafkemina, I'm already going to do this Avera. Diavid ha, achul ha, if I'm going to do this Avera, I can already do the Avera of eating non-kosher food. Shagras tanura, this woman turns on the fire in the oven, v'kamanchale, and she puts non-kosher food into the oven in order to grill it. Solik v'yosif begaveh. Rabbi Tzadok climbs into, you know, their ovens used to have an opening on top. He climbs in to sit in the tanur where the fire is burning. Amro le. So she turns to him. Now, what's missing here, the Ben Yoda points out, this is the missing link in the story, but it's clear from the story that this happened. Somehow the fire did not burn him. The fire of Gilui Arayos or the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos is always compared to a fire, and somehow the fire did not overcome him. And this has two meanings. Number one, the physical fire did not burn him. This was a miraculous salvation. And number two, maybe equally amazing, is that the fire of the Yetzer Hara for Arayos did not overcome him. He stood his own. And Omer Le, she realizes what's going on with him. My high, what's going on? You went into the oven. Amar lo, the Ovid ha, nafil baha. He who is guilty of such an avera deserves to be burned by the Eish of Gehenna. If I would have appreciated how severe of a violation this is for you as a Jew, then I wouldn't have put you into such anguish in order to force you to do this avera. In other words, when she saw that the fire did not consume him in the oven, somehow the koach atuma, the powers of evil within her, of contamination, became weaker, and she actually regretted that she had seduced him for this avera. Alternatively, you could say that when she saw that she had no possibility of succeeding in seducing him, she decided to drop her demands in a respectable way. A similar story the Gemara now tells about Rav Kahana, Havakom Mezabein Dikule. Now, what happens is, when they used to sell various weaving utensils or spools of thread, they used to put it into a certain kind of a basket. It's called in Hebrew a sal, of course. And Rav Kahana was so poor, and he, in order to support himself and eke out a living, he took on this job, unfortunately, in which he would sell to the women these clay ariga, these weaving utensils. And as a result of his exposure to the women, Tavate Hahi Matronisa, again, a woman of very significance and status in the government, demanded that he have relations with her. And Rav Kahana, similar to the previous case of Rabbi Tzadok, was in a situation in which he couldn't avoid her. She had the power to, if he refused to comply, to put him to death. Amar La, so Rav Kahana says to her, as a sort of delay tactic, Azil Ikashit Nafshoi, I'm going to go and beautify myself so that I would look good for you before we do this avera. And what happens? Solik v'kanofil mi igrali ara. He climbs up to the roof, and he falls off the roof towards the ground. And a miracle happens. Os Elio. Elio comes from afar, Kable, and grabs him before he is smashed by the impact on the ground. He catches him. Omo le Elio, sister of Kahana, Itrakton arba me'o parse. You have forced me into this situation where I had to come a long way, 400 parsos, in order to save you. And Omar Le Rav Kahana turns to Elio Anovin. He says, Mi garam li, what caused me to get into this situation? Lav aniyusa, isn't it because of my poverty that I had to sell, run around amongst the ladies and sell these things in a basket? This is what brought me into the exposure to the women and into this terrible challenge. Yoivle, Elio Anovi gives him Shifa de Dinri, another kli, I guess, another utensil to replace the utensil that the sal that he used to run around with amongst the women. And it was full of dinri, full of gold coins. And obviously, Rav Kahana was now rich enough that he wouldn't have to run around selling to the women. He says, Achlo heviu lo b'maisa nisim. He brought him this kli mole dinrim, but not with another miracle, because a person doesn't want to have benefits from a miracle. The Gemara earlier on Daf Lamed Tes had quoted the Mishnah in Peah that enumerates those mitzvos that a person eats the peros, the fruits, in this world without taking away from the keren from the main reward that he deserves, which is waiting for him in the world to come. And now the Gemara has an analysis of what is the common link amongst these mitzvos that are listed here in Peah. And they have the power to give him peros in this world and keren li'olam haba. Ramilei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava asked the following question to Rav Nachman. Tnan, elu dvarim shadam oseh osam v'ochel peroseh b'olam hazeva keren kayemislo li'olam haba elu'en kibud ava'em k'milos chasodim avah shalom v'enon l'chaverus salmat Torah k'neged kulam. What is unique about each one of these mitzvos? How do we know that these mitzvos play that unique role? And what is the common link amongst all these mitzvos? The kibud av ha'em, in the case of honoring parents, and the Mishnah establishes that the peros, of the reward of the peros, he'll enjoy in this world. Ksiv, we understand that it comes from the pasuk. There's a double language here. That's a reference to the next world. Yitav loch is a reference to this world. The gmilus chasodim, in the case of extending chesed to others, ksiv rodeif tztaka v'chesed, a pasuk of Mishlei that speaks about redifa, running after tztaka v'chesed, and a person who fits that category, that description, yimtza chayim tztaka v'kavod, he will find chayim, true life, which means eternal life, that's the olam haba, and tztaka v'chavod is a reference to olam hazeh. Now the Gemara goes on to the next case, where again the Torah describes, the Tanakh describes it as redifa, u'bavah shalom, to make peace. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Bake shalom viradfeu. Again, the word redifa, like we saw by chesed, by gmilus chasodim, om rabbi avo, asya redifa redifa. We can derive through gzeres shava an equation here between hava shalom and chesed gmilus chasodim. Ksiv hacha, here it says, by hava shalom ben adam l'chavero, Bakei shalom v'radfeu k'siv hasen by gemilus chasodim rodev tztaka v'chesed yimtza chayim tztaka v'kavod. To the same extent that gemilus chasodim, we interpreted, brings him goodness in this world, and of course, in addition to the tztaka v'shalom that he achieves in this world, he has chayim for olam haba. So too, in the case of avah shalom, that's what he's going to get. The Talmud Torah, Ksiv, Ki hu chayecha, v'orech yomecha, and again, chayim is a reference to olam haba. And, no, orech yomecha, I should say, we said before, arichas yom means eternal life, that's olam haba. And chayecha here must be referring to olam hazeh. It's interesting that amongst the mitzvos on this list, one could argue that three out of four of them are ben adam lechavero, but Talmud Torah clearly is ben adam lemakom. Now the Gemara says that Rava was bothered, and he asked Rav Nachman the following question: Shiluach Hakan, b'Shiluach Hakan nami ksiv. We have a similar pasuk with regard to Shiluach Hakan, yet it's not mentioned in that Mishnah. Shaleach teshalach esayim v'sabonim tikach loch leman yitav loch v'arachta yomim. Again, we have arichas yomim, and the arichas yomim is a reference to olam haba, yitav loch, the goodness in this world, in olam hazeh. Is listening amihachi, why did the Tana not mention, fail to mention Shiluach Hakan in his list? And Rav Nachman answers, Tana v'shir. Very often we have this rule that the Tana doesn't give the entire list. It's an incomplete list, and certain cases are left out. But the Gemara is not happy with that. To apply Tana v'shir to this Mishnah is difficult. And that's what Rava again asks Rav Nachman. Tani Tana, the Mishnah says, Elu Dvarim. Whenever it says Elu Dvarim, it means this is an exhaustive list. The Ad Amr Tana v'shir, and you want to apply the principle that there were cases, or mitzvahs in this case, that were left out of the Mishnah. So now, Rava gives an answer to the question that he himself had asked, why Shiluach HaKan was omitted. Amar Rava, Rav Idi Asberli, Rav Idi explained to me the reasoning of the Mishnah and why this circle of mitzvahs is closed. These are the cases of Peruseihem, Balamazeh, Kerenkeim, Solmaba. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi Imru, Tzadik Ki Tov, Ki Pri Ma'alalehem Yochelu. And here we have a Shevach in which they praise the Tzadikim Ki Osas HaTov. It means that Tzadikim, as the Mitzvah David says in Yeshayah Novi, Tzadikim Yochlu Gmul Maaseim HaTov Bol Mazeh. And the reason why, says the Mitzvah David, the Pasuk in Yeshayah wants to heap so much praise on the Tzadik that does good and will reap the benefits, the rewards of his actions in this world, is in order to set up the tzaddik as a paradigm that people should look up to him. He's the personification of goodness, and through this shevach, people will want to learn from his actions and try to imitate him. Now, the pasuk indicates that it's a tzaddik ki tov, that the tzaddik is doing good. I mean, that's what a tzaddik is all about. He does good. V'chiyesh tzaddik tov, v'chiyesh tzaddik she'eino tov. Is there an implication that there's a lower echelon tzaddik that doesn't fit into this category? Ela, the Gemara says, you have two different categories of tzaddikim. Tov l'ashamayim v'labrios. All tzaddikim are good when it comes to bein adam l'makom. But not every tzaddik is capable of dedicating his kochos for the benefit of others, for the brios, that they should enjoy the benefits of his actions, that he extends chesed to them. So if he's both tov l'ashamayim and labrios, he's got both, you know, you can check both boxes, he has both advantages, then zeu tzadik tov, that's the tzadik described here by the Novi. But tov l'ashamayim v'ra labrios, Rashi explains what is ra labrios means, he's not involved in extending good for others, he's focused totally on ben adam l'makom, zeu tzadik she'eino tov. That's the tzaddik who doesn't have time or energies to be meitiv im abrios, to bestow goodness on others. And although he's a tzaddik, nevertheless, he will fit into the category of ochel pri ma'alolov b'olam hazeh. There's a limit to how much he'll enjoy in terms of his benefits in this world, because he's not dedicated to bestowing good and kindness on others. Those tzaddikim who fit the category of tzaddik ki tov, meaning they not only are involved in bein adam l'ashamayim, but also in bein adam l'abrios, they will enjoy a full reward in this world without, again, detracting from the keren l'olam haba. And this is Rava, in the name of Vidi, will answer the question of Shiluach HaKan. Why is Shiluach HaKan omitted here from this list? And the answer is because Shiluach HaKan is a Tova LaShamayim, so to speak. Tova LaShamayim, but it's not Tova LaBrios. And therefore the Peros are not given to reward, to enjoy the reap of the reward here in this world. And Kayotze Bezeh, Badovra to Omer, you find something similar in the next pasuk there in Yeshayah. It says, Oy l'rosha ra, ki gmul yodav ye'asa lo. And there again, there's a little bit of a difficulty in the pasuk. V'chiyesh rosha ra, he describes the rosh as ra. V'yesh eino ra, you have to add that description indicating that there's some rosh that's not ra. Elogala shamayim v'ra l'brios. If a person is not only doing Averos, which are Bein Adam L'Makom, but he's also doing terrible things to Brios, to the other people. For example, a Gazlan is who Rasha Ra. He's described as not just a Rasha, but he's a Rasha Ra. Ra La Shamayim V'Eino Ra La Brios, a person who violates Bein Adam L'Makom, but he doesn't bestow evil on other human beings. Okay, that's definitely a Rasha, but he's not a Rasha Ra. We don't give him a double description. Zeu Rasha She'eno Ra. And some of the examples might be non-kosher food, or perhaps he's not careful about observing a Shabbos or a Moed. Gilia Rais might depend. In the case of an Eish Yisish, that's already a Mavas Lo Yuchal Liskon, and that's already Benonim Lechaveru as well. But other types of Arayas might fit under Rala Shamayim, Vieno Rala Brios. So we have these different categories of Tzadikim and parallel by mirror image categories of Rishoyim. Now the Gemara explains that there's a Braisa that could shed a light on these Psukim. Hazchus. Hazchus means a person who deserves merits and rewards because of his good deeds. Is Yeshlam Keren v'Yeshla Peros. Yeshla Keren means he will receive schar for his mitzvah, and Peros means even above and beyond the schar. Shenemar, again going back to Yeshayo Anovi, the same pasuk that we had before, Imru Tzadik Hitov, Ki pri malaleim yochelu. Notice there's a pri, there's a fruit, a reward for the maisim tovim. And then it says, Avera yesh la keren, v'ein la peros. Here's the difference between doing a mitzvah and doing an avera. In the case of avera, the punishment is keren. There's no peros. Peros means going beyond, above and beyond the keren itself. In other words, whatever the avera was, they'll be punished for that avera, but nothing beyond. Shenemar oy l'rasha ra. And the pasuk says in Yeshayo, ki gmul yodav yasa lo. We saw this pasuk before. And it's only gmul yodav. Nothing beyond that. That's as far as an avera is concerned. With regard to mitzvah, we saw that there's not only keren, but there's also an extra reward that supersedes the keren, and that's called peros. V'ela ma'ani makayim. What do I do with the pasuk in the beginning of Mishlei? It says, v'yochlu mipri darkom u'mimotzoseihem yisbo, which means that in their lifetime they completely consume all these peros, and it means that they will suffer in this world, tsaros, hamotzos, osom, different calamities that will befall them. Vakeren, shmur lehem begehenom. And the mainstay punishment is waiting for them in the world to come. So you see that the pasuk here is indicating that as far as averus are concerned, there's also something called peros. There's also punishments that are meted out in their lifetime that go beyond the keren. His Gemara answers, avera sha'osa peros, yeshla peros. V'she'enosa peros, enla peros. In other words, there are certain averos which have an impact above and beyond the framework of the aver itself. For example, if you do an aver publicly, that's called Chil Hashem, others might be tempted to learn from you and to imitate you. Is Yeshla Peros. Now, because of the repercussions of your aver, of your action, and the impact it has on others in a negative way, you will now suffer not only Karen punishment, but also Peros punishment. But she'enos peros, a person does an avera beino levein atzmo. He doesn't do it publicly. No one sees him. No one is going to be impacted and try to imitate him. Ein lo peros. All he gets is the punishment for the avera itself, and that's called keren. But not he will not be punished above and beyond that with peros. Earlier in the sugya, which we covered yesterday, we spoke about machshava ra, when a person schemes to do evil, is ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu machshiva lionesh. He's not going to be punished as if he had done a maisa. And the Gemara later on is going to clarify this, that there's a difference between a machshava ra and a machshava tova. That whereas a machshava ra is not considered like a maisa, but a machshava tova, if a person is unable to implement their good plans and schemes, they will nevertheless be rewarded as if they did a maisa. The Gemara says, machshava tova, if a person has in mind and he plans to do a good action, a mitzvah, But at the end, mitigating circumstances prevented him from implementing his original plan. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzarfa l'maisa, he considers it like he did a maisa, and it'll be rewarded duly. Shenemar oz nidbru yir Hashem isha re'ehu. At the end of Tanakh, it says that Vayakshev Hashem v'yishma v'yikosev sefer zikaron lefanav l'yir Hashem l'choshve shmo. Now, what is this choshve shmo all about? What does it mean? Mayu l'choshve shmo. What is the meaning of it? Omer Rav Asi, afilu choshav. Right, choshev means he thought, he planned, he schemed. Choshev odom lasos mitzvah nenas. Nenas, there were circumstances beyond his control. He could not actually implement his plan. Velo asa. His ma'alov hakosev ki asa. The Torah considers if he did it. That's called in the Pasuk's language, choshev shmo. However, on the flip side, in conscious machshava ra, a person plans to do an avera ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider it as if he did the action, if at the end he did not do the action. Shenemar, this is in Tillim, David Amel says, Oven imra'isi belibi lo yishma Hashem. Which means that hisnaigi manu kilo ra velo shomea machshavas ros belibeinu. God treats us as if he did not see, but did not hear, or he wasn't aware of, kilu our machshavas rose that were in our lave that we planned. Is lo yishma Hashem, God doesn't hear it, and we're not punished. Oh, but wait a minute, Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, Elamani Mekayim, what do I do with the pasuk? Hinini mevi esam azeh ra'a pri machshavosam. We're talking about bringing punishment upon the people because of their machshavos, because of their plans. And the end of the pasuk says, Ki al dvarai lo hikshivu v'sarasi v'yemasu ba. It sounds like a Kodesh Baruch is going to punish a person for his bad thoughts. The Gemara answers, Machshava sha'ose pri HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Machshava sha'ein ba pri ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. In other words, when a person has a machshav, he plans, he schemes to do an avera, and at the end he successfully does implement his plan, then he'll be punished not just for the maisa, but also for the planning stage, for the machshava. But if, at the end of the day, despite all his planning, he was prevented from implementing his plan, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish him as if he did the maisa. Again, that doesn't mean that a hirur avera is completely meaningless. The pasuk says in Yechezkel, Leman tfos es beis Yisrael belibam. Belibam, again, the word belibam indicates that there was a hirur halev, and HaKadosh Baruch is tfos, is punishing them for the hirur halev. You see that hirur halev is significant. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Hahu, that pasuk, which indicates that a person will be punished for machsheves avera, is ba'avodas kochavim u'dechsiv. There's a separate category, an exception to the rule, the avera of idol worship. And a person is punished even for his machshava in the case of idol worship. The Omar Mar, the Brisa formulates chamura avodas kochavim. The avera of avodas kochavim is more severe than any other avera, should call a kofer ba kimode b'chal haTorah kula, that a person who denies avodah zarah, it's considered as if he accepts the entire Torah. And on the flip side, a person who accepts avodah zarah and he has a machshava, is a kodesh baruch hu mitzarif lemaisa, it's as if he violated the entire Torah. The Gemara offers another reconciliation of this lechora contradiction regarding punishment for a machsheves avera. Ula Omar, what it says in the pasuk in Yechezkel Man Tfos is basis of belibam, implying that they will be punished even for machsheves avera, is kir Rav Huna. That should be interpreted in the light of Rav Huna, the Omar Rav Huna, kevan shavar adam avera vishanaba. A person violates an aver once and then he repeats it, hutrilo, it becomes permissible for him. What do you mean, hutrilo salkadaitach? Because you violated Nisa Torah time and time and again, therefore it becomes mutter. Ella Naseh lo keheter. For him, it becomes mutter. He considers as if he's allowed to do it. He's done it so many times. You know, he wasn't zapped and he got used to the avera. He does it automatically. And therefore, if a person has in mind a machshava to violate this kind of an avera, even if at the end of the day he was prevented from doing so, and he didn't fulfill and realize his plans, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers his plans as if he violated the avera. And why is that? When a person is aware of the difference between avera and a mitzvah, he knows what's prohibited and what's not. And with that recognition, he can make a choice decision. So then God punishes him and judges him based on his maisim. But when a person gets to the point in which the whole distinction between avera and mitzvah is completely gone, you know, he identifies this avera is something that he's allowed to do, then his planning is that the main avera starts in his mind. And the fact that at the end of the day, let's say, for example, the circumstances had it that he would change his mind, but not because of L'shem Shamayim. You know, if a person understands and recognizes the distinction, and he can recognize the avera as an avera per se, as such, then you could say that if at the end of the day he doesn't implement the avera, there's some element here, perhaps, of a change of heart. Again, there were circumstances, but there was a change of heart. And therefore, that's a mitigating circumstance that could remove the onish. But in the case of a person that he doesn't recognize the difference between the avera and the heter, in his mind it's heter, you know, he lives by that avera, it becomes his creed, then the emphasis here is on his machshava, and that's where he's going to be punished. And the reason why he didn't implement the plan has nothing to do with his motivation, l'shem shamayim. There's no element of charata here whatsoever. The Gemara now continues the line that we were discussing before, the reasoning of an avera that does peros, like chil Hashem. As we said before, it has an impact on others. It's such a severe avera that he gets punished not just keren, but also peros. Omer Rabbi Avo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Noach lo liolim sheyavra avera b'seisa, v'yichal shem shamayim b'farhesya. If a person is already doing an avera, then better that he does it in private than he does it in farhesya, in public. Because with the public nature of his avera, it becomes, in addition to the avera per se, chil Hashem, others will learn from him. Shenemar Yecheskel says, V'ata beis Yisrael, ko amar Hashem Elokim, ish gilulav lechu avodu, v'achar im einchem shomim eloi, v'shem kodshi lo sechalelu. It means that it's better to do the Avodah Zarah in private rather than be Michal Shem Shemayim in public, because if a person will witness your Chil Shem Shemayim, your Avodah Zarah in public, that'll cause him to be Mezalzel B'Kavod HaMakom. If a person realizes that there's no way that he can overcome his Yetzahara, he should exile himself to a place where nobody recognizes him. He's a foreigner. He should embarrass himself, maybe by wearing these black clothes, somehow his heart will soften up, and he won't be so subject, so exposed to the seductive powers of the Yetzer Hara. His heart will be what's called hachna salev. Is yasek moshe libo chafetz. When a person is now in a place where no one recognizes him, and he's not considered significant in their eyes, no one's going to learn from him and try to imitate him. If he violates this aver in a place where people know him and recognize him, and they see the way he's acting, they may be tempted to imitate him and to be mezalzel v'kavod hamakom. Eini, the Gemara says, is this Sova, Sanya, we learned in Ebraisa, Kol Shalo Chos Al Kvod Kono, Roilo Shalo Ba Li Olam. If a person is not careful about the honor of his maker, then you know what, it'd be better that he wouldn't have been created, that he wouldn't have been born into this world. Maihi, the Gemara says, and what is this Brisa referring to? Who's the person who's not chas al kvodo shalkono? Is Rabba Omer. Zeh mistakel bekeshes. Rav Yosef Omer zeh over avera b'seiser. So we'll get back to mistakel bekeshes, someone who looks and gazes carefully at a rainbow. That's Rabba, but let's take Rav Yosef's interpretation first. We're talking about someone who does an avera b'seiser. He doesn't want people to see him. He's not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sees him. He's afraid of man who sees him. And he's not being chas al kvod kono. He's worried about other people and the way they'll judge him and look at him, but he's not worried about kvod kono, about the honor and dignity of his maker. So you see that in a sense, the fact that he violates this aver b'seiser makes this avera even more severe of an avera. And this again is what we saw before in Rav Eloi HaZaken, meaning according to Rav Eloi HaZaken, better that he do it in private. Whereas according to this Brisa, the way Rav Yosef understood it, it's better that he does it in public, because then at least he's being consistent. He doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about the people. He doesn't care about God. Now, we mentioned before that according to Rabba, a person who looks carefully at a keshes. So the Ritva says that the keshes itself is what's called Dmus Mare Kvod Hashem. It's some sort of revelation of the glory of Hashem. And that's not something that you should be concentrating on. The Torah in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Chaf Tes points out, also listakel b'keshes harbe, you're not allowed to focus your gaze on this rainbow. And the Beis Yosef explains that the word mistakel means mabit harbe. It's a very intense and continuing gaze. So that the later poskim say that if it's only re'iyah ba'alma, just to see the rainbow, that's not called histaklus, and that's not called an avera. Perhaps the objection to looking and gazing at a rainbow is because the rainbow itself indicates man's sins. The fact that God had promised, and the keshes was the simon for that bris, that he would never destroy the earth through a marble. The fact that he needs that keshes as a simon is a message to the world that something is not beseder. You know, there's something rotten in Denmark, as we'd say. And to focus in on that might cause some sort of a negative impact. In any event, we now have the question of how to reconcile the Brisa of Rav Yosef's interpretation of over aver b'seiser, who about whom we say that it would be better had he not been born, the severity of doing it in private, not caring about the kvod kono, as opposed to Rav Eliyai, who advocated doing the avera privately and not publicly. Lo kasha, ha demotzi chayef liyitzrei v'ha, the Brisa that says that it's a worse aver when you do it in private, that's a case of a person who could overcome the temptations, the allurement of his Yetzahara, and desist from the avera. If he does it, and he does it privately, that means that he doesn't care about what Hashem is saying, what God's divine perspective up above. He cares about what people are going to think, and that's severe v'ha. But Rav Eloi, when he was talking about going into hiding, he realizes that he's not going to be able to overcome his Yetzahara and avoid the Avera, and in such a case, better to whittle down his Avera, to limit it by omitting any element of Chilul Shem Shemayim in public. The Gemara now continues about the chumras, the severity of an avera of Chilul Hashem. Tanan Hosam, we learned in a Mishnah, the Ritva says we don't exactly have this Mishnah, Ein makifin bechil Hashem echad shogeg v'echad mezid. A person goes to buy something, for example, in a mini market, a supermarket. He doesn't have the money to pay. Then he buys on credit. That's called ba'akofa. There's no credit with extended for achil Hashem, meaning that the punishment is immediate. And that's the Gemara explains here at the bottom of Daf Mem Amud Aleph. My, what does it mean? Ein makifin is omar zutra shein osim kechen vani. We don't extend you any credit, but rather the punishment will be swift and immediate. Mar bered ravino omar. We have another possible interpretation of ein makifin v'chol Hashem lomar shim hoisa shkula machras. This interpretation, the second one of Mar Bered Ravina, is very similar to the earlier interpretation in the sense that we're talking about, as we saw in Mar Zutra, an immediate punishment meted out to the Chil Hashem. Ravina gives us a different twist and puts it in a slightly different context or framework. We're talking about a person who is pretty equal, well-balanced between his positive and his negative, between his merits and his deficits. And perhaps if he does an Avera, even though on a temporary basis that tips the scale against him, but nevertheless we'll give him a little rope and we'll wait and see if he'll do more mitzvahs and accrue more zchuyos. But in the case of Chil Hashem, that's machras. That's automatically going to tip the scale. There'll be no patience here for such a person, and there'll be punishment meted out. He's tipped the scale in favor towards the Avero side, the Avono side, and there's no tolerance. Now, once the Gemara discusses Chil Hashem as being machria kaf, the Gemara quotes the following brayse, the Tanur Rabbanon, and here we're turning to Daf Mem Amud Beis. Liolam yira adam es atzmo ki ilu hu chetzio chayov vechetzio zakai. A person should always view himself as if he's on that tippy point of the scale, where the scale is absolutely equally balanced in both directions, chuyos and avonos. Also, mitzvachas, he should realize the severity of his situation, be very scared, make sure that he's motivated to do a mitzvah, because Ashrav Shechria Atzmo Lekaf Schus, he'll be fortunate by doing that extra mitzvah and tipping the scale Lekaf Schus, making him into Rov Zechuyos, putting the majority on the positive side. But Ovar Avera Achas, he's got to be very, very careful and very fearful, because if he does an Avera, Oilo means woe to him, he's in trouble. Sheikh Rias Atzmal Kav Chova, he has now tipped the scale towards Chova, Shenemar Vechote Echod Ya'abi Tovu Laharbe. That even one sin could cause him to lose all that, the amalgam, you know, all the mitzvahs that he amassed, the merits that he amassed. Shevel Shvil Chet Yechidi Shechata, he was Machria the Kaf because of this one sin and tipped the scale Ovi Menetovas Harbe, meaning he will not, at this particular point, benefit from the Tovos because he was Machria himself at Lekaf Chov if he did this Avera. And basically, a person should always see himself as a Beinoni, as if he's right down the middle. And that should give him a sense of Yira and Pachad to make sure that he does the right thing, and he does a mitzvah to set himself on the right Netiya Sakaf L'chus. And now the Gemara quotes a very important interpretation of a Pasuk that indicates that we're not only talking about the individual, but we're talking about the world as a whole. Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lefisha Ha'olam Nidon Acharubo. We're judging not only the individual, but the entire world. And what is the makeup of the population of the globe at any particular time? Are we talking about Rov Ha'olam Tzadikim, and then the world will merit goodness from above? Or are we talking about Rov Ha'olam Rishayim? And now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is putting things into a much broader, far-reaching perspective. V'ayochid nidon acharubo. And if a person has rov zchuyos, he's considered a tzaddik. If he has rov avonos, he's considered rasha. So everyone now has the responsibility of seeing the entire world as if it's half tzaddikim and half rishayim. He himself is half zchuyos and half avonos. Also mitzvah achas. Therefore, if he does a mitzvah at that particular juncture, ashrov, how fortunate is shechria es atzmo ve es kol ha'olam lekaf zchus. He's got the whole world in his hands. He can now tip the scale for zchus and save the entire world. Just by doing that one mitzvah. Over avera achas, on the flip side, however, heaven forbid, if he does an avera oilo karamba, sheikh rias atzmo, ves kol ha'olam lekaf chova. Now he has tipped the scale in the opposite direction. And the world becomes rubo rishayim. Shenemar, and again we get back to the pasuk that we quoted before, vechote echad ya'aved tova harbe. And what this means by chote echad is we're talking about one particular sin. And that one sin has such a power that it's able to be machria the entire kaf of the entire world lechova. So the message here of Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles is that Chet Yechidi Shasa Zeh, because of this individual sin of this particular person, Ubad Mimenu Mikol Olam Tova Harbe, a great deal of goodness that could have been reserved for the world, the entire world is lost. Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, Afilu Tzadik Gomor Kol Yomov. Even a person, his whole life, he was a tzadik, Umorad Bachrona, at the end of his life, he rebelled against God, Ibed Esarishonos, he has lost all the reward for all the mitzvahs that he did. That's why the Schar Mitzvah is sort of in a glass, a very fragile container. He can mamish lose all the mitzvahs that he did for an entire lifetime. Shenemar, as Yecheskel says, Tzidkas HaTzadik Lo Tatzilenu V'yom Pisho. Even the greatness and all the good deeds of this tzaddik is not going to save him on that day of his Pesha, the day of his rebellion. And he will be punished. Afilu Rasha Gomer Kol Yom. But now we have the more optimistic side of the equation. And that is a person who was guilty his lifetime. V'yaseh tshuva b'achronim. At the end of his days, he did tshuva. Ein maskir lo shuv rishu. We will not, up in the heavenly courts, I will not mention his rishus. Shenema v'rishas ha-rosha lo yikoshel ba b'yom shuvo mi Risho. The end of that pasuk in Yechezkel says that the evil of the evildoers will not be a michshol on the day that he does tshuva for his maisim. Why does this rebellion, this pesha at the end of his life, cause him to forfeit all the mitzvahs that he did his whole life? Nehevi kemechtz avonus umechtz chuyos. Why not consider it as half and half? Now, exactly what the Gemara means here in its svara, that one chet at the end of his life should give him a din of mechtza if he was a tzaddik all his days. And if you're telling me that the Gemara, even in its question, understood very well that a mered, a rebellion at the end of his days, is justifiably a chumra that we should be machmer against him, is like maybe we can make it into rov avonos. Why does it stop at half? And perhaps we could say that what the Gemara means is that we found that in the case of someone who's mechza zchuyos, if he does one avera, he's machriya sakaf lechova. He was only machriya sakaf, but nevertheless his mute zchuyos, right? He's got 50 zchuyos, and now he has 51 averes, but that mute zchuyos is still in his bag. You know, it's still on his account. We don't erase it. is so to a person who does a merit bachrona, he will be like the case of a mechtzes chuyos, and we will not cross out all his schuyos that he accrued the course of his whole lifetime. Is Omer Reish Lakish, on that question, Reish Lakish responds, based on Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who said that he's ma'avid all his mitzvos, is besoeh al rishonos. Not only was he rebellious at the end of his life, but he regretted all of the mitzvos that he had done during the course of his lifetime, and therefore he forfeits all the reward for those mitzvahs. That's called Toeh al Rishonos. If he had only had Machshavos, if he didn't do that act of rebellion, so then we would activate the principle of Eina Kosh Baruch Mitzayif Machshava Ro Kemaisa. But if, as in addition to his Machshava, he did the Maisa Avera, he did the Mered, then we also count the machshava, and this machshava was a toeh al rishonos, and he actually forfeits all his mitzvahs. And this leads us, Rabosai, to the next mishnah, which is the last mishnah in the first perek of Kiddushin. And this mishnah continues the thought process of the previous mishnah about schar mitzvahs, and kol sheyeshno b'mikra. We're talking about a possibility of a person perfecting himself or chas v'sholom losing all that he's accrued. Is yeshno b'mikra u'v'mishnu v'derech eretz. If you can check off the following three boxes, he is dedicated to the study of Torah. Good. And not only Torah, meaning Tanakh, he's also dedicated to the study of Mishnah. He is also involved in Derech Eretz, meaning he does good things and compassionate acts with sensitivity towards others. He's lo b'mehera hu chote. He's going to be afforded with a protection against sin. Shenemer, the Pasuk says in Koheles, v'achut ha-meshulash lo b'mehera yinotek. If he has all these three, that's called the chut ha-meshulash, a string, so to speak, that connects together these three of Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz, is then it will not be a quick matter for him to sin. That's not going to happen very soon. But kol sheinu lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah v'lo b'derech Eretz, if he doesn't have any of those three, eino min ha-yishuv. He's not someone who you could say about him that he contributes to society. His moshav is not moshav shel olam, that's yishuv shel olam, meaning to help society and constructively build up society, but rather, he is eino min ha-yishuv. And that phrase means that he doesn't contribute to the establishment and the yishuv shel olam of the world. His moshav is what you'd call a moshav leitzim. He is actually excluded from testimony. And if you take a look at the Rambam here in Pirush HaMishnayos, he says, Roy lo ledar, lodur b'midbar b'mokum chayis aros, kevichu mesuka and yosef imin adam. He says he should live amongst the wild beasts out in the desert, isolated from the world itself, because he's not a Derech Eretz guy. He has no positive relationship with those around him. He has no sensitivity. He has no nimus, as we would call it. He is perhaps a danger to society. That's how Father Rambam is going with this. The Gemara now quotes Omer Abelozer Reb Tzadik Lema Tzadikim Nimsholim Ol Mazeh. What would be a beautiful metaphor to describe Tzadikim in this world and the impact that they have on this world? Le'ilon shekulo omeid b'mokom tara, an ilon, a tree that's rooted in a very pure place. V'nofo nota l'mokom tuma, but the foliage moves out towards a contaminated area. And if you'll take a look at the Mefarshim here on the Agadita in the Ein Yaakov, you'll see that they speak about a concept called the nefesh maskelis. That's the holy spirit of man, the intellect of man that wants to do good, and that's always compared to an ilan, to a tree standing located in makom tara. The taivos of a person, which are a result of his bodily material element, that's called nof. And that nof, that foliage, is nota l'makom tuma, because it sort of moves out of the purity of the nefesh amaskeles, and al yidei suri aguf yiskatzitzu hanofos hanotim l'makom tuma. Sometimes a person has to suffer in a physical way in order to, so to speak, cut off those branches, that foliage that could chas shalom lead him to a place where he's not supposed to be. And as a result of being mevatel all these bad, you know, foliage, this nofos of tuma, he purifies himself and uplifts his nefesh. Niktas gufo. In other words, no, excuse me, niktas nofo. The Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik that if the nof, you know, that goes towards tuma, that those bodily taivos is cut off, then kulo ome b'mokum tara. Then he's completely dedicated to pure things. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi yisurin al tzadikim olam hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes brings suffering onto tzadikim in this world. And that means that any averos or any netios towards tumah that they have will be beaten, will be punished in this world. Kadesha Yirshu Olam Abba, they will have a pure, unrestricted merit in the world to come. There's no limitation. There are no glitches in the way. Shenema v'hoya reishischa mitzar v'achrischa yiske mi'od. The pasuk in Iyov tells us that reishischa will be mitzar, will be ma'at. That's a reference to this world, and mitzar is the suffering of this world. But v'achrisa, in contrast, the ultimate reward, the world of reward, the eternal world of olam haba, yiske ma'od, he will be great, and the reward will be infinite. Ulamar Rishoyim Domim, if we wanted to come up with a parallel kind of or in the opposite sense of a mirror image in the flip side for Rishoyim, is what are they similar, what can we compare the Rishoyim B'olam HaZeh in this world? Le'ilan Shekulo Omei B'makom Tuma, it is completely dedicated and rooted in Tuma, Nofo Notu L'makom Tara, there's some element of his nefesh that would pull him towards Tara, Niktas Nofo. As soon as you cut off the nof, is kulo omeid b'makom tuma. You know, the Rishoyim are so addicted to evil, and that their nefesh, their soul is completely rotten. It's completely nishchas. They have a little bit, a drop of moisture left in their nefesh, of goodness, of a natural netiyah, a natural move towards goodness, but because of the total dedication to pleasures in this world, even those, you know, little midos, nefesh, the tchunos hanefesh hatovos, are completely nishchas, they're completely gone, and now he's considered completely in tumah. And that's called the situation of niktas nofo. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpil em tovo l'rishon b'olam hazeh. God is willing to heap whatever rewards these rishonim deserve in this world. Kedei l'tardam lo rishon madrigat achtona, so that in the next world, the world of olam haba, there will be no schar for those few good things that they did. And instead, their portion will be the portion of the lowest level in Gehenom, in the fires of Gehenom. That's where they're going to be punished. And that's called Madrega Tachtona, because again, basically, when the Rishoyim are judged for Gehenom, they go up and down, you know, they babble there. They may have moments in which they're not suffering again, but in this case, once they've received all their reward in this world, all they have left is Yordin L'Madrega Tachtona. They can't even pop their heads up above in Gehenom. Shenema Yesh Derech Yoshal Lifnei Ish V'Achrisa Darchei Moves. Shlomo Melech in Mishlei describes the Rishayim who see that they're successful in this world. They think, wow, I'm going on the right path. But in truth, it's Achrisa Darchei Moves. They are really walking on an infinite path of Moves, in which they will be suffering and they will be punished in the world to come. The Mishnah tells us that anyone who's dedicated to the study of Mishnah and Mishnah, Mikra and Mishnah, means he's dedicated to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and as well to Derech Eretz, to do good things, his midos tovos, is he's not going to sin quickly. And the Gemara says, which of the three is most important? Kvar hoy Rabbi Tarfon, who's kedim mesubim balias, beit nitzizah belud. The Gemara, in many places in Shas, describes the Tanoim at the time of the destruction of the Romans. They would gather together in an attic in a place in Lud that was owned by Nitza, a fellow by the name of Nitza, Vinishala Shelu Zubifneim, and there was a famous fundamental question that was asked in front of that group. Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol, which is greater, study or action or implementation of the mitzvahs? Nana, Rabbi Tarfon, Maisa Gadol. Rabbi Tarfon's response was, the Ikar is Maisa. And Nana, Rabbi Kiva, Talmud Gadol. Rabbi Kiva disagreed with Rabbi Tarfon. He put the primary emphasis on Talmud. That supersedes the significance of Maisim. Nanu Kulam. And all the Chachamim, the Omer, they responded, Talmud Gadol, we agree with Rabbi Akiva, but maybe not for the same reason, but rather because HaTalmud, maybe they Maisa, basically, Ein Amoretz Chassid, Ein Bor Yirei Chet, a person has to study, because without study, his Maisim and his mitzvos will not be up to par. And therefore, even though Rabbi Tarfon put the emphasis on Maisim, he's going to have to admit, and both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon will admit, that there's a principle of Talmud Mevili De Maisa, and therefore Talmud becomes the cause for mitzvos, and Rabbi Akiva would say that the cause for mitzvos is the Torah, the Talmud, and therefore that becomes greater. It's sort of like an av and a ben, a father and a son. The father is greater than the son. Talmud Torah is greater than Maisim Tovim. Rabbi Tarfon says that the Maila of Talmud is because it's a cause, a means to the end of Maisa. So the great Tachlis, you know, the ultimate goal here is the Maisa. And Limud Torah becomes a means to the Maisa. The Tachlis is always greater than the means. The ends are greater than the means, and therefore we should put all the primary emphasis on Maisim Mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, well, it all begins with Talmud. There's no Maisa without Talmud, and therefore Talmud is the cause, and it becomes primary. The Gemara now brings a brisa that describes the greatness of Talmud Torah above and beyond the Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gadol Talmud Shekodam Lechala. We have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, and back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was a mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, Arba'im Shana, 40 years in the desert, but the mitzvah Talmud Torah began with Har Sinai, with Kabbalas HaTorah. That was the third month after Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Challah was given. So when was the mitzvah of Challah given? So it says here that Talmud Torah was Kodam L'Challah Arba'im Shana. I would have to assume that if Talmud Torah came 40 years before Challah, it means that from the time of Matan Torah, you had to count 40 years until the Mitzvah of Challah was given. And the Mitzvah of Challah was given when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Mitzvah of Challah is given in Parsha Shlach, but that Chiyuv was given for the time in which they were entered into the land, and therefore, the mitzvah did not become activated until 40 years subsequent to Kabbalah's Torah. Kabbalah's Torah came first by 40 years. That indicates its tremendous significance. God old Talmud. Talmud is greater than the Maisa Mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, who the truth is Maisris. Other examples of Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. Chamishim V'arba. It's Talmud Torah, meaning Kabbalah's Torah comes 54 years before Trumas of Maestros, because the Chiv of Trumas of Maestros is only after Kibush V'chiluk. You have to add those 14 years from the time they entered into the land until they settled the land. They divvied up the land to the Shvatim and settled it. So you can add 14 to 40 and you get 54 Ulishmitim. And Talmud Torah comes before Shemitah, Shishim V'achas, 61 years. What does it mean? You have the 54 years, and then you add 7 years. And it's only after Kibush V'chiluk do we begin counting the 7 years of Shemitah, and the first Shemitah was 7 years later, Yovlos, Me'a V'sholosh. And then you have to add to the number 61, you have to add an additional 42 years, because we're talking about 7 plus 42 is going to give you 49. So the first Yovel will be 49 years after the beginning of the Shemitah cycle, and the Shemitah cycle again began 14 years after they entered into the land, which is 40 years after they got the Torah. So you add it up and you get 103. The Gemara asks, Me'a V'sholosh, is Me'a V'arba Havyon? Wait a minute, why are you counting 49? You should be counting 50, and that should jack up the number to 104. Kosovar Yovel Mitchilosohu Meshameit, that Yovel and the power of Shemitas Yovel, in order to cause the fields that were sold to go back to their original owners, or the Avodim that were set free, as a result of Yovel, all that began with the kickoff of the 50th year. And therefore, we don't count the 50th year itself, because already at the beginning of the year, that means on Yom Kippur, that year when they sounded the shofar, that's when Yovel was Meshamit. Ukshem shel limud kodin l'maise. Just as the study of Torah begins and takes precedence to Maise, kach dino, so too the Limud Yom HaDin is Kodem L'Maisa Mitzvahs. In other words, when a person is judged in the world to come by the heavenly court, his first judgment is going to be on Torah, on the Torah study. That's the first element of his judgment. Later on, subsequently, he'll be judged for his Maisa Mitzvahs. Kidrav Hamnuna, the Omer of Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dino, Shal Adam, Ela Al Divrei Torah. The first question is going to be, did you study Torah? And if you didn't, you're in trouble. Shenemar Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. A pasuk in Mishle, that a person is Porek himself from old Torah. The word Mayim is always a catchphrase, a code phrase for Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. And now, the beginning of the Madon means Meriva, in other words, the din and the harsh judgment is going to be Mayim on Mayim, a person who, instead of dedicating himself to the study of Torah, was Porek Atzma Me'ol Torah, Ukshem Shedino Kodem LeMaisa, just like the din, the judgment on Talmud Torah, comes first before Maisa, Kach Scharo, so too the reward for the study of Torah, Kodem LeMaisa, comes first before the reward for Maisim. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Tillim says, Vayitein Lahem Arzos Goyim Va'amal li'umim yiroshu, ba'avur yishmeru chukav v'sorosav yinsoru. So the Torah mentions the schar of shmiras chukim, and shmiras chukim here is a reference to Talmud Torah, and that comes first, and later on, its yinsoru is a reference to the implementation of the mitzvahs. We've already discussed earlier that shmiras chukim is a reference to Talmud Torah, and we find many psukim where chukim come before mishpat, And at the end there's a mention of schar. But in this pasuk itself, you find that Bavur Yishmu Chukov, that is placed in a prominent way to indicate that the schar here, first and foremost, is for Shmiras Chukim, which means Talmud Torah. The Mishnah says in the Sefer Kol She'eno lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishlo v'derech eretz is eino min ha'yishuv. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, u'pasul li'edus. If he's not contributing to society, he's not makpid, he's not careful about his own kavod, he's mezalzel, he has no boshes panim, he has no sense of where am I in society and a sense of humiliation. He really has the status almost like a shote who socially is totally unaware. He has no self-awareness even. He has no success in interpersonal relations. Such a person cannot qualify to give objective testimony. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, ha'ochel bashuk, a person who eats publicly, ha'reza doma lekelev, he's like a dog. The dog doesn't find its food in the house. He usually goes out to the shuk, to the marketplace, and that's where he eats. Again, the Mefarshim in Ein Yaakov see this as a symbol of an ani, of a poor person. Ein ani yoser mikelev. In other words, the ani has to go out and collect small pieces, bits of pirurim that are spread out, and he's going to have to eat in that sort of way. In that way, an ani is like a kelef. Yesh omer pasul yedus. Some say that we have to go even further. If he's not makbid on his own covet, he has no self-image, no self-respect, then he is pasul yedus. A person who doesn't, a person is motivated to tell the truth and see things objectively and report them and relate them in a court of law because he is a respect, he sees himself as significant, he has a self-respect, and without that, lacking self-respect, he eats publicly. He doesn't have those attributes of self-respect that are prerequisites for giving objective and reliable testimony. Omer Avidi Bar Ovin, Halacha, Ki Yesh Omrim, we accept that position of the second view that a person who eats publicly in a shuk is possibly a... Now again, Rabosai, this might change with society. I mean, now we have so many places out in the shuk where a person could stand outside and eat. That might be indicative of a general overhaul in society. So I don't know exactly how these halachas would apply today, but still, the general principle is that self-respect requires that a person eat privately. Eating is a biological act that a person must take care of, and he does it privately. He doesn't do it publicly. Darash bar kapara, ragzon lo olsa biyado ella ragzanusa. Okay, now we're talking about the midah of kas ragzanus. Lo olsa biyado. What does it mean? Lo olsa biyado. And now we're on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We just have a few lines to finish the first parak of Kiddushin. So we'll try Mitzvah to fit that in the next 2-3 minutes, even though we're a little bit going over time. But this way, tomorrow Mitzvah Hashem, we can begin Bli Neder, the second parak. What is the meaning of the word biyado here in this statement of Bar Kapora? So we have here something from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Yoyada says that the word yado here is an allusion to what's called chasimas yado. On a daily basis, a person's neshama goes up on high and he's shown a ledger in which his signature, his own handwriting, testifies to his meisim. And Bar Kapora is saying that even though he did a Maisa Mitzvah, nevertheless he did it with roges, with a certain anger, not with simcha, is then eno ola biyado, lo olsa biyado means he won't be able to sign on that Maisa Mitzvah in order to get rewarded for that Maisa Mitzvah. He can only sign on the roges. The roges, el ragzanusa, that's what, in a sense, determines the nature of his action. So anything that's performed out of ragzanus, instead of being done benachas, it's done out of a sense of tsar, of anguish and anger, is that's not called a good act. And a person will suffer as a result of this roges. In a sense, perhaps, this might be a reference to someone who's angry at Hashem, meaning he's suffering in this world, and he takes it out on God, saying that God is not good, is then the surim, which really could be mechaper zavoros, instead will not be ola biyado. He will not successfully be able to receive and activate these yisurim, these sufferings, as a kapara. And then we go on. Uli adam tov matimim oso mipri masav. But a person whose midos are very good, their impeccable, sterling character traits, then matimim oso mipri masav. Then even in this world, we will give him a little bit of a taste of his schar, the reward that's coming to him. Again, the most profound reward is of course saved, is reserved for the next world, the eternal world, but we'll give him a little bit of a taste of peros, as we discuss so often, that there's keren and there's peros. The keren, of course, is olam haba, but he'll get a little bit of peros here in this world. And matimim means just relatively a small amount of tam. And it's not going to be menachah, it won't in any way detract from his basic primary schar, which is olam haba, which is the keren. V'chol she'eino lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishna v'lo b'derech eretz is dar hana mimenu. Now what does this mean, dar hana mimenu? The word dar here is translated as nidar hana mimenu. And this is the concept of mudar hana michavero. It means a person can take a neder that he won't get any benefit from so-and-so, he won't give any benefit from so-and-so. As far as he's concerned, he took that neder in order to alienate so-and-so completely far, far away from him. And what Bar Kapor wants to tell us, that even though we don't advocate in favor of nedarim, nedarim come out of anger, the Gemara says in nedarim, and we've already, at the beginning of Bar Kapor's statement here, we've already presented the terrible nature of anger and how it completely nullifies the mitzvah, etc. But here, in the case of nedarim, although usually we completely advocate against taking the nedarim because it comes from anger, but in this case of you want to be madir anah, you want to alienate someone who's eino osek b'yishuvo shel olam, whose midos are such that he's not osek b'derech eretz, he has no positive contribution to society, you know, in such a case, we're going to advocate that you take a neder hanah mimenu, that you won't get any benefit from him, you won't give him any benefit, just keep him far, far away. Shenemar, and the pasuk at the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, it says, V'moshav leitzim lo yoshav. This is a reference to someone who's Einu B'mikra, Einu B'mishnah, Einu B'derech Eretz. Moshavo, Moshav leitzim. It means he's not involved in any constructive, positive way in contributing to society. He's sort of like a Moshav leitzim type of person. He's a cynic. And his leitzanus is all that he's involved with. He has nothing else positive and constructive to do other than leitzanus. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi, Lo sohu bra la sheves yitzara. A person should be dedicated to the yishuv, la sheves yitzara. That's why God created the world. In such a case of a person whose maisim are basically tov hevel, tov bra, instead of lo tov bra, he's tov bra. He's in the moshav leitzim. Leitzonis has no mamoshes to it. There's nothing constructive, nothing. It's all hevel hafalim. And that's what the pasuk wants to tell us. So this Mishnah is coming down very hard, with very harsh and severe terms, to describe someone who is not involved, not in the study of Torah, nor in the involvement of Derech Eretz to contribute to society, to constructively build society. Such a person belongs to the category of Moshav Leitzim. Such a person should be pushed away. We should be Madir Hanah Mimenu. He should be alienated and isolated from society at large. Hadron Alecha, Isha Niknes, and Emir Tzashem, Bli Neda, tomorrow we begin Ha'ish Makadish.